Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love to talk about how astrology is unfolding in the big picture, in the politics, in our spiritual life, and in the day-to-day world around us. And this is Heather Rowan Robinson. I'm joined to you, calling in from Ronan, Montana tonight, and I am joined by Mark.
Mark Wolfs, calling in from New York City.
Wonderful. And Anne Ortley may or may not join us. She's had some heavy family work to deal with lately. And we send her love and support wherever she is. So what a week it's been, Mark. We talked about that powerful aspect that began, a story that began as Mercury in Leo opposed Pluto during the Democratic opposed Pluto during the presidential debate. And then the following weekend, as Mars conjunct Uranus and Algol, the star we associate with beheading, right as Biden got sick again and Trump lost in the air and his shooter was beheaded. And that was when Venus opposed Pluto. And then we said the last pass would be either Sunday or Monday as the sun opposed Pluto. It would be the third point of that story. Now, not only did the sun oppose Pluto, but Mercury Uranus. And we had like sort of shocking, unexpected news, though I gather it was actually well planned within the ranks. It was shocking to everybody else how it finally denuded. But I'm not surprised. You know, one of the people asked us to call an election, but I feel we always have choice. I mean, that's when I find the most empowering thing in astrology is we always have choice. And I don't think you can predict, you can say the aspects pre-incline a problem or might show an issue, but you can't say what's actually going to happen because that's still free will, it's grace, it's willpower that makes those places unfold. But I did see that Pluto, when I look at Biden's chart, you know, one of the things that has been worrying me, and I think many other astrologers, is that Pluto has already squared his moon once and is going to come back and square his moon at 0 degrees of Taurus two more times in the following year. And I've heard many people say he's going to get elected, but then Kamala's going to finish it out because he's going to either die in office or need to withdraw. But Uranus was also within a degree of opposing his sun as this all kicked off. His sun is at 27 degrees of Scorpio, and Uranus right now, that whole Uranus-Mars-Algol conjunction was within a degree of direct opposition to his sun. So I think for his own health, I'm glad that he is going to be stepping back and getting a chance to take a deep breath, because that looks hard on your nervous system and hard on your health. And I do think that history will remember him more fondly than the voters do at the moment. What are you seeing, Mark, as far as what's been impressing you in this process?
You know, whenever somebody mentions a specific time, I feel like they're calling out to astrologers to have a look at the chart. The news media was all about 1:45 and 1:46 p.m. Sunday when Biden released his statement stepping down. And so I set up a chart, of course.
Of course. That's how we roll.
He did everybody a big favor in taking that action right at the end of Cancer for the sun, 29th degree. And the moon had just gone into Aquarius, and instead of being in the full moon. It was 1 degree of Scorpio rising, mm-hmm. so there's plenty more to come. It's actually too soon to read the chart, but there's action ahead. And the moon being at 3 degrees of Aquarius has a lot of aspects to make. And so it's going to be a full agenda to work this out.
Absolutely. And the moon conjunct that Pluto about 6 hours before the announcement, both squaring his moon. Anne, yep. Is that you I see on the...
That's me. I'm here. I was listening to Mark talk about it because I looked at that chart too. You know, it was also mm-hmm, the day mm-hmm. Eris stationed to go retrograde. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump had Eris at 7 degrees on the degree of ears. You know, planets, you know, every degree in the chart mm-hmm. has a body part. So his Eris is at 7, Aries. And that's what
that's hilarious.
Obviously, that got shot off. And it, you know, and so when I watched Eris stationing, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, the goddess of discord is stopping and reversing direction. It, you know, and then you watch the kind of the disarray that everybody was in. But it was 45, mm-hmm, he told mm-hmm. the staff, 46, he told us. And Eris had stopped. And, of course, it's the 5 days before and the 5 days after. So we're going to watch and see the crazy. Plus, we're in Mercury's retrograde shadow,
mm-hmm.
The upcoming Mercury raid. So that's also interesting. And then Mars had just gone into Gemini out of Cancer, which is I'm staying with it. And then Mars went into Gemini and said, okay, we're going to have a different option. It's kind of fascinating, the shift of, you know, because part of it is the Algol. You know, I've been talking a lot in mm-hmm. my Patreon about the Mars-Uranus conjunction on Algol, which mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. It's the star of beheading. So they shot Donald and they took the head off of that kid that shot him.
And it was within a degree opposed a Biden's son.
Right, it beheaded Biden. I mean, he didn't behead him, but it was the sixth house, interestingly, in his chart. Mm-hmm. So it's all of the people that he worked with, his coworkers in the Senate and the House.
And his health.
So I'm like, you know, do a Nancy Pelosi, be the president emeritus, put him on the cabinet. You know, and also the analogy, you know, I kind of was thinking, you know, when you take away the keys from grandpa, you know, I know when we had that with my stepmother, my dad had a little dementia, so he had stopped driving, but her son came and said, you can't drive anymore. We're taking away the keys. And it's a hard thing because you want to respect them, but you also recognize that there's a shift going on. And you know, having a lot of family members that have had dementia, you know, mm-hmm. I look at Trump and I look at Biden and I'm like, they both have it. You know, it's just mm-hmm. which version is it, you know? So
right. One
so we'll see.
Biden doesn't really have dementia. He has a tad of senility, I would say. But he doesn't seem to be, and there's a big difference, you know, whereas Trump doesn't show any signs of senility, but a lot of dementia.
Yeah,
you know, one
there's
is,
different.
You know,
yeah, there's that. There's kind of a look in the eye, is the way I think of it. You know, when they kind of disappear. Yeah, and Trump has it for sure.
But Trump also has a distorting of reality that is associated with dementia. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also the whole narcissistic sociopath business. You know, he's just batshit crazy. Plus, both his parents, his mother had really early onset dementia, and his dad had it. And for years, his dad would come to the office and have an office and a secretary and make decisions, although nobody implemented them. You know, he was,
mm-hmm,
just,
mm-hmm.
you know, they let, you know, they, he continued to quote unquote work. Right. So it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting phenomena, especially now because I've got my aunt has it and my sister has it. So I've got, I'm like dealing with a lot of it in my life.
You are my dear. And I was worried that is your sister still with us?
Yep, she is. She forgot. Mm-hmm. She has the kind that's head trauma based because she was very athletic and mm-hmm. a lot of falls.
Yep,
she has the same kind Bruce Willis is.
Yep.
And so what happens with that one is the brain shrinks. So it's a shorter one.
It's a 5 to 7 year one, as opposed to Alzheimer's, because it can go for a long time because it doesn't shrink your brain. It just takes away the stuff. And so in her case, she's forgotten how to swallow and chew.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's a problem, yeah, obviously. So, but she's still here. She's still here.
Mm.
So, yeah. But, you know,
I
you
see
can't
that,
eat, you know,
yeah.
frail. Yeah.
It's very hard. I also
it
see
is,
that
we are,
Biden,
we're roller
yes,
coastering,
go ahead.
Yeah.
You're right. I bet
no,
you
we're
are.
Roller, yeah, we're well, the whole world is on a roller coaster. So it's
right.
like, hang on. We're going to go up. We're going to go down. Where are we going? Yeah.
Right. You know, the Mercury, then Venus, then the Sun opposed Pluto during the whole from the time of the first debate through today's yesterday's announcement. Now Mercury has squared Mercury squared Uranus, and then all the other Venus is going to square Uranus, and then Mercury is going to square Uranus three times because it's going to go back and forth over at retrograde in mid-August and then September 7th. So this, we have then some really shifting gears. It won't be that loss, that heaviness, that depression that we've been feeling since the debate until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Which was that Pluto's cycle. But now there's the wild cards are flowing, during with this cycle happening. I was looking at Kamala's, her solar chart, the astrocartography, because I've seen, people like McCain, who did wonderfully well when he was speaking from his power base in Arizona, but when he power base in the D.C. area, did not do well because he had no major lines, nothing working for him in Washington. And for her, it does a really interesting thing. In California, she has Saturn on the midheaven where she was the prosecutor, but this puts the Sun on the IC near Washington. So I think that she's going to be speaking. She's got her Mercury at one Scorpio. So there's still, and I do see her, Saturn is going to be talking to her chart, as Saturn opposes her Venus, Pluto, and Uranus. It's already done it once. It's going to go back and forth over it as it retrogrades. But I usually see Saturn transits in the people who win elections if they want to do the job, because it means they've got work to do. The person who's got free time did not lose the question. And Joe Biden's moon's about to enter Taurus and leave Aries, and he's going to start becoming comfortable.
Yep.
I think.
Yep. Well, when people were asking who's going to win, I had always, I always look at who moves on January 20th as my decider, because that always works. Who's having a move transit on Inauguration Day? And he had one.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was very unhappy about that. And so when people go, is he going to win? Is he? I was like, well, I got this move happening on January 20th. So now I'm happy. He's going to move out, and hopefully Kamala moves in.
Right,
Go
ahead.
No, and I was looking at that kind of going, so I'll take this version of it. That's the nice part about astrology. You see it, but you don't always know how it's going to show up.
Exactly.
Who's the player?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that's so fascinating about it. As again, when people say, ask me to call something, I say, we have so much room for free will and grace and for the great creativity of the universe to play out. We know the pattern, but how it, the specifics of it is still in the making.
Right.
Which
right.
is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she had her sun and moon opposition. She's got a tight born exactly on the full moon with the at 27 Libra to 27 Aries. And Pluto's past that degree, and it's not coming back. It's coming back to 28, 29, but it's not going to come back to that. We knew that we were going to review the problems of the years past because Pluto goes back into Capricorn just in time for the election, but it doesn't get very far back in there. So I'm hoping it's just a review session of what's gone on and not a return. So it looks really good.
If we go back to 08, when Pluto went into Capricorn, you know, if we think of Capricorn as the old, and I mean, you know, mean it in a kind way to the old white guys in the audience, it was when the old white guys wrote the Declaration of Independence. They owned people, they owned land, women were chattel. So in 08, when Pluto went into Capricorn, was when we got Obama. And usually there's an echo of the two, right, of the, you know, the September, October, November. So getting a woman president, particularly a black Asian woman president, as Pluto goes out
will
of Capricorn, saying, you know, we may really change our trajectory as a country, you know. So we'll see. I mean, I'm excited. You know, I had a life in the French Revolution, and I lived through that one. I was an astrologer with five kids, and I just was a little working astrologer in France, and I didn't get killed. So I'm
what
hoping
a great
this revolution, this revolution, I'm good to go too. You know. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
All good.
Yeah. And again, yes, we have hopes for the change that's coming. So we've got a lot of people lined up for questions that we weren't on last week. So let's take a few.
Okay.
And
you're in charge of picking.
All right.
You're the picker tonight, huh?
Thanks. Hello, 570-771. You're on the air. How can we help you? Hello. Hello, we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Hello?
Yep. Can you do yes, there you are. We need you. What's your time, date, and
we need you. What's your time, date, and
place?
It's October 1st, 1988.
Place and
wait, question.
October 1st,
1988. 10:01 a.m.
Yep.
And where is it?
Yep. Right here. Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Where?
Pottsville.
Pottsville.
Pottsville,
Pennsylvania.
And what
was
the date again?
I was just looking for general, basically.
Okay. I think if you've got our sound on in the background, it's echoing.
Your birth date?
Is that better?
Is what again?
Yeah. October 1st, 1988.
Okay.
Correct.
And so with those minor technical difficulties in the background.
Mars in Gemini.
Scorpio rising, a Libra moon in Gemini. Yes. And you said you just had some general questions. Your progressed moon is conjunct your natal sun and your progressed Venus. It looks like there's a lot of activity coming in about wanting to meet new people, meeting new people, connecting with new people, connecting with like minds. You have the real opportunity to make some new connections. It looks like you, a couple of years ago, when your progressed sun conjunct Pluto right on your ascendant, that it was a tough, you know, you may have lost a lot of people in your life or had to let go. And there's a real rebirth of people coming into your life, I think, this year. And what do you see?
Yeah, I'm really focusing on that progressed moon and Venus, both on your sun and the note of fate, the eclipses that we're having in September, October, because they're going to really activate that axis of direction. And we're going to have a Mars retrograde in the fall, in December, January, February, and you and Natalie have a Mars retrograde. It's gone direct. So we're going to really watch what happens in October, you know, the end of September, beginning of October, when your sun gets activated by the eclipse. And then in January, that first week in January, where you get the new moon. A lot of energy around new relations, new creative projects, new directions for you. And, I mean, it looks very nice and juicy. Plus, you just started a new 12-year cycle around your direction in life and what's important to you. So that's always really fun. And, of course, Venus on the sun happens once every 360 years, progressed Venus, and the moon there is every 30 years. So this is a huge new chapter about what do you hope and dream to bring in into your life. And it looks very nice with Jupiter, you know, Mars activating your Jupiter in a couple of days about a new two-year cycle around going forward, you know?
Echoing that, Uranus.
You're a Scorpio rising, yeah.
Yeah, and echoing that, Uranus is squaring your natal Venus, really stirring up your emotional restlessness. It's not saying to throw away perfectly good relationships. So you may need, like, do I have to work things through with this person, or do I need to let go and start over again? And that's, you know, going to be more subtle. But really use this time to make new connections, particularly this next month. Make new connections, rekindle old friendships that were healthy, and take a new creative, you know, leap forward. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that does.
Wonderful.
Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, I like that progressed moon coming into the new moon with natal sun, and Venus is part of that picture. So all of this talk about social relations and changing relations, new people, forming connections, it's all good. It's all going to happen. So you're on your way. So just trust it. You're going to meet some interesting new people.
And I'm going to say, let's stop here, wish you well, and we'll take another caller, okay? Feel free to call us back and let us know how
it
goes. Bye. And hello, 785-556, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi. My birthday is August 18th, 1952.
Okay.
And it's at 4:17 a.m. And I was born in Wichita, Kansas.
I am a lineman for the county.
And I want to know about a friend that I've been, a guy that I've been friends with for a year and a half. Uh-huh. And I have most of his birth information. And just to see if you think that it will ever go any further. His birthday is January 9th, 1954. And I don't have a time, but he was born on Staten Island.
Okay. And you have all the right information. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, August 18th person. You've got, and your Pluto has been already opposed your moon once this year and is coming back to oppose it again a couple of times. It's really asking you to look at some of your patterns and relationships and, you know, ways that you protect yourself, that you have a very public self, but a very private personal life with that moon in the 12th. And may note it, and that Mars in Scorpio at the bottom of the chart. I think very early on you learn not to necessarily trust the people closest to you, and you're really experimenting with reaching out more at this time. Saturn's sitting right on your progressed moon. So, you know, I think it's important that you said this is a person that you've known for a while?
For a year and a half we've been friends.
Okay. And you're trying to figure out if it's going to go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I would say what it looks like with your friend who may also have a moon in Pisces and a Capricorn. And Capricorns and Leos have an interesting relationship. Capricorns usually work, you know, we always kind of thought it was interesting that Capricorn is Leo's service sign and that Leos get the most competent service sign there is. I say this would not have worked earlier on in your life, but it looks like there is a softening and an opening at this time in your life. I want you, though, to just you know, you can't trust by just making a decision. You have to grow into trust. And mm-hmm. so does this person. You both have Mars and Scorpio. I think that you just need a lot of time at the friendship level before mm-hmm. anything further happens.
Mm-hmm.
And but it might easily start picking up in a year or even a few months. But just really let it be a trust. Let the trust grow naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Anne, what do you see?
Well, you're both born on eclipses, so I always find that fascinating. You're born on a sun-south node eclipse. He's born on a sun-north node eclipse. So we're going to look at the Saturn, because he's got Saturn in Scorpio as a cap, and he's got a Saturn Mars, so he doesn't move quickly. And he's got a big, he's cautious. He likes to know what the plan is and how it's going to work and what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. Saturn and Scorpios often look for, you know, they like a guarantee, or there's conditions in the relationships. What's going to happen this year, though, he's going to have Saturn squaring his Jupiter, and he's going to have Jupiter return August 18th. So you really want to watch what goes on then, because Mercury is going to be dancing all over your Leo planets and the Virgo Venus and his pals Athena. You probably were partnered with him in a past life because his marriage planet's right on your sun. And he also has Pluto on your node. So it's very, I call this the giant sucking sound, where you feel like you get called in and you're like in a little emotional vortex. The good part about him, he's got a moon in Capricorn. He means what he says, and he says what he means. So if he tells mm-hmm. you, whatever he tells you, he is telling you the truth. So believe mm-hmm. what he says. Your chart has a little bit of trouble with that sometimes because you have Mercury in Leo, and so people can say things and then not deliver. This guy delivers on what he says. So that is a thing to take into consideration when dealing with him. I like him, and I think I agree with Heather, because he has the square to his Jupiter three times this year. He's got three Jupiter returns. So he's in a place where he's not able to make decisions until we get a little bit, until we get to the end of February, basically. Mark, what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can talk to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a test of all that you've learned about relationships and setting them up and being part of them. And it's going to be, it'll test you, but in a good way. So I don't think you'll feel like you're being tested, but the more you move forward, the more you pass through the tests. So just keep doing.
So should I speak up, or?
I would say not yet.
No,
I give it a little bit more time and look at each other's love languages. Notice, you know, how does he feel appreciated, and how does he show his affection? Here, get a lot of backstory about what each other's relationship histories have been about.
Yeah, we've done
build
that.
Up that trust, build up the trust, and I think that, you know, you might see that there's movement even in a few months. But I wouldn't speak up until the sun goes until the fall.
No,
equinox,
I was
at least.
I didn't mean it that way. I mean that if there was ever a disagreement,
I mean,
would I want to be more in the compromising or stay?
No.
Stand on my own.
No, this is someone who likes a definite person. So, you know, just don't hate him for disagreeing with you. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, I don't think you would, but, you know, let him see that, you know, love you dearly, don't agree with you. I think he would really appreciate to know where you stand rather than feel like he has to tiptoe around it because you won't show what you feel. He wants to know what you're thinking.
He does ask and value my opinion. I know that.
Right.
Yeah, he totally does.
Absolutely. So we're out of time.
He's a pokey boy. So
give him his time.
Yeah, he's a pokey boy.
Yes. Yes.
So, mm-hmm.
But again,
Thank you.
He says when he says that, he means it. We're out of time. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
Good luck with them.
This is Heather saying goodbye from Montana, and Mark.
Mark saying bye-bye from New York City. See you next week.
And Ann down here in Florida, in Boca Ciega Bay, hanging down in Florida,
hanging out with
so
the
long farewell. Have a good week, people. Just remember, it's a wild
see
roller
coaster.
See you next
week. Right. We'll take care of yourself.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.